Fair patience. All right. Thank you, Dwayne. Yes, we'll talk about how cheap we ginned it and stuff. We got a standing room only crowd there, huh? All right. Well, good. I'm going to try to go through this relatively fast. We do have a paper, and it has a lot more data than I'm going to be able to present here. So hopefully at the proceedings you'll be able to get a hold of that and take a look at it. I do want to take the time to thank my co-authors, Harrison Ashley, who was instrumental in helping me get surveys back, Dusty Finley, Kelly Green, Roger Isom, Tim Price, I don't know why I'm reading their full names, y'all know them, and Matt Fannin. They've been very helpful. I also need to thank the Jenners that participate in this survey. I know how surveys are. They're not fun to do. We try to make this as simple as possible. This is a format that we've been using really for almost 20 years now. So it's a one-pager survey. We ask just some very basic questions on your variable cost and then get a little bit on your processing and production type cost information. We do keep the individual information confidential, and then we just show the composites. Just to identify that we are talking about the year 2013, so I wanted to make that point to you, and that was a relatively low production year, 12.5 million bales. Now, this upcoming year, like Robbie talked about, I guess we may hit the 15.9 million bales, but it sounds like we may not. So we've got a little work to do there to finish out the 14 crop. But what we're talking about today is our 13 crop. Harrison and I always try to do some economics-type work in that we try to predict how many gins that we are going to have. We never come up with the right number. We always use NASS as the official number of cotton gins, which in 2013 they listed 610 gins, which average about 20,000 bales per gin. We're estimating in 2014 it's going to be about the same with 610 gins averaging. And that average bales per gin is what really plays into the cost and some of the issues that we see there. In the 2013, we ended up getting 119 surveys back from you. Thank you very much. And you see how I've divided them up by the different regions, the Southeast, Mid-South, Southwest, and the West. And basically, we got 21% of the U.S. crop represented in this survey. I'd definitely like to get more and encourage you guys to do this. We do this survey every 3 years, so you'll still have another opportunity. We do identify the variable operating cost, bagging and ties, repairs, electrical cost, dryer fuel cost, labor cost, and we get both seasonal labor and full-time labor. And then we get a little information on your operation and performance data. Here it is. I went ahead and compared this to 2010, so you see the kind of gray numbers are your 2010 data, our last survey data, and then our 2013. And, of course, really the most telling factor is probably this one here. The average bales per gin were about 22,000 bales per gin, where our 2010 numbers was 34. Hence, you know, basically all your costs are going to be affected in the upward manner, and you can see in every case that we have a fairly good increase in cost over that. Most of that's just related to the lack of cotton. The total variable cost we showed is $24.88, and that's averaged across the total U.S. A couple other statistical parameters we look at, the period of days operated. Again, this is a big telling factor. We only, on average, operated our gins 56 days as compared to 79 in 2010. Ginning rate didn't change. Rated capacity didn't change a whole lot. But we do see a major drop in seasonal labor. Part of this was just because a lot of the gins only operated one shift. They basically operated one shift. And we did have a pretty good increase in full-time labor, and that's just because the percentage-wise, there was just a lot more, less seasonal label in there. The survey represented 65% pick cotton, strip cotton, and then we had a pretty good, this is the highest number of rotogen cotton I've ever got in my survey, and that was 7%. Overall, the round module use was 22%. Now, that's across the whole cotton belt. We can break that down really to the Mid-South, which was right at 49%, and the Southeast, which was the second highest, was 37%. The other areas were a lot less. And this, of course, follows, as I've been saying, since the crop was relatively light, this is the annual volume of bales ginned. The blue is less than 15,000 bales, 15 to 25, and 25, 40, and then 40 and more. Normally, the 40 or more had been growing, but because of the low cotton that year, it dropped out quite a bit. Here's a comparison for the last 5 years, and you can see in just about every case, costs went up. A lot of that's just related to the lack of volume. However, you know, we expect these types of costs. 2012 was a fairly good year, and so when we see, for instance, repair costs that are represented in the year 2013, a lot of that's attributed to what happened the year before, and so that's why they went up quite so much. Electrical costs, they're a big factor, is demand charges. Whenever you have less bales go, a bigger percentage goes to demand. Fuel costs. We did have it. This was not our highest year in fuel, and that was a good thing. Both in the Mid-South and Southeast, we had relatively dry harvest conditions, and so fuel usage was down quite a bit. And then labor costs, of course, was up. And you can see the total was up quite a bit there. Breaking it down by regional, our Southeast gins did gin quite a bit more cotton. They averaged almost 36,000 bales per gin, and that ultimately resulted in a lower total cost, you know, almost $20 per bale. Mid-South was really small for that period, Southwest and then the West. As we always know, both the Southwest, which really includes a lot of stripper harvested cotton, does require an additional cost to process that cotton, and it always shows up every survey. You can see that was a total of $25.87 per bale, and then and out the West, where we have a good significant number of roller gins in the area, as well as the higher energy cost, which you can pick out here and here. Almost went up to $30 a bale. Volume is important, just like the whole theme of this statement, and you can see as gin sizes increase, we do reduce our total variable costs there. This is kind of a scattered diagram of the data. This time I kind of segregated the data out into the four different regions and color-coded them. And basically, it just follows what I've been saying before. Most of the Western gins are on the top or above the kind of trend line there. Our Mid-South and Southeastern gins are kind of hanging below that. But it does show very clearly that as we increase our volume through the year, your overall variable costs are reduced. Here's energy uses, and this is... really a good number for you to keep up with in your ginning operations, see how many kilowatt hours per bale that you're using. We see, and the trend line goes, you know, down slightly, but that's just because we got probably a lot of noise up here in the top. It's relatively flat. We do have some gins, though, that are operating very efficiently, and some of the work that they've been doing at the Stoneville Gin Lab, mainly Bobby Harden, has gotten some real-time data and shows that even these 30 kilowatt hours per bale are real numbers, that some gins are actually operating in that. And we have others, you know, operating quite a bit higher. And so this, to me, this would make a good sense for Jens to go back and take a look at what you're doing in kilowatt hours per bale and see if you can identify what are some of the causes for that. So that kind of concludes the basic data. Like I said, we got a lot more data in the paper, and hopefully you'll be able to pull that down and take a look at it and compare it to your own gen cost. I just wanted to kind of highlight five big areas of concern: quality and quantity. We talked earlier this morning that quality, and Robbie showed it as well, has, as far as length and strength, is some of the best cotton we've been producing around. Extraneous matter has been a concern, primarily for us in the Mid-South and Southeast. We normally don't have barky bale cottons, but we're starting to see more and more barky bales in there. This year, luckily, was relatively low, but it's something we need to take a look at, as well as leaf grades. Leaf grades have been going up. Some of it's may attributed to more hairy leaf cottons that were growing in the area. Some of it is the volume of cotton that we're processing now. We're just not spending the time and able to get it as clean as we could. So some gins are going to really have to take a close look at that and make sure they're producing the quality that they want to produce as well as their producers. Demand and price, of course, as we all know, price is not that good, and the future next year, you know, doesn't look all that bright. The good thing about low prices is hopefully that's going to affect demand. So we're going to pick up on improved demand, I'm sure, across the world, and we'll be able to at least sell our cotton a lot easier, and eventually price will get up. This data, I think, does a good job in at least the energy cost data and this sort of thing, helping you kind of find out where you are from an efficiency and a cost standpoint. Every gin has to look at those types of parameters to make sure that they're doing everything possible they can to provide the best value to their customers as well as their stakeholders in the gin. Transportation from field to gin. Now, this is an area, and ever since the Don Deere came out with the round module builder, this has kind of created a new paradigm on how we're handling cotton from field to gin. The module truck was a standard. Now we're using a lot of flatbed trailers. We're being able to truck cotton a lot further, a lot cheaper than we ever were before. And so we're going to start seeing some things happening in our ginning, less gins. It's going to ultimately be involve longer transportation distances and this sort of thing. And then value added. And again, for you to be competitive, and this is what we're looking at, you know, what kind of value can you add to your customers? Of course, quality and quantity are important value added products, but there's also additional information, being able to read RFID tags, look at precision farming techniques and compare some of your processing data, your quality data, back to your farming operations and help your producers do a better job in their production. That's all I have right now. Don't have really time for questions, but I'll be around all day and tomorrow if I can answer them at that time. Thank you, Dwayne.